Beginning of the worship service, which will be conducted by the Reverend Andrew Kemmett. We have a few minutes before the service of worship begins, and it's good for us in this time maybe to be introduced to Breda and Francie and to get to know them a wee bit better. And I've asked if they'd be willing to answer just a few questions this evening, and we can see them then hopefully on the screen. And maybe if you can tell us a little bit about your background in South Africa, where you're from, and where you have conducted your ministry in the past. Please share with us.
Yes. Well, I grew up in the Eastern Cape around Port Elizabeth, but I spent the longest time, I started out there for 3 years, and then I had 1 year in a congregation up near the Kalahari, in the dry northwestern part of the country, and 2 years with the church staff. But I spent the last 32 years of my ministry in various roles in a very large congregation in Somerset West on the outskirts of Cape Town, nestled into the mountains in an area called the Boerland, which if you try, you can actually translate it as the Highlands, because Boer is on top, upper land. I school in up in Nelspruit near Kruger Park, but my studies, I studied theology in Stellenbosch University, 1 year at Pretoria University, and I had the wonderful gift of being able to study, to do my PhD up partly in Columbia Theological Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia. Which was a wonderful time for us as a family, but also especially getting the broader, just so much that I picked up there for congregational ministry and for everything. So that's just a little bit of where I come from.
Wonderful. That's lovely to hear. And you're joining, of course, colleagues from your homeland as well in Murray Presbytery, which is great, and we certainly feel the blessing of that. It's wonderful to welcome you both this evening. It's great. Now, why Scotland? That's a question we all love to hear how you respond to that. What has drawn you to come here to be with us?
Well, quite a list of things. I should maybe start with the family history. My great grandfather came to South Africa from the Black Isle. He was born and raised in a manse at Fort Rose and brought his South African bride back to Banff, where his mother's family come from, Banff and Port Suez, so to get married before going back to South Africa. And so I had this half Scottish granny, and I've always had this connection, bit of a connection with Scotland. Oh, that's one of the reasons. The other is also being grateful. If anybody, it's a little bit of an unknown history, I think, in Scotland itself, because numbers weren't that big, but the Scots had a huge impact on the Dutch Reformed Church. It's even been said that the Dutch Reformed Church probably would not have survived without the Scottish ministers that came and served in the Church of Scotland. So it's also a debt of honor with a shortage of ministers in Scotland presently and an oversupply in South Africa. But the other thing was also a friend of mine, Yanni du Plessis, who served down in the Dumfries area. After retiring, he came and he came for 3 years and stayed for six. And he told me that serving in the Church of Scotland, those 6 years were the six best years of his time in ministry. So all of that, I think, just gathered together. And maybe the strongest reason is that it was a calling. I do experience it as a calling, at first to Scotland, and now very strongly to Salou, to this specific congregation.
Wonderful. Good to hear. And you've been in Edinburgh for a wee while, is that right?
Yes. Yes, I had the, not a full year, COVID messing things up. I had 3 months in Canongate Kirk, And I was just starting to really get to know the people and getting my way around when COVID struck. And we could carry on with certain things, and I could keep going with Bible studies and whatever we could come up with. And then we did open a few months ago and started worship service on Sundays again. Unfortunately, with no singing, which is terrible, and only seeing half of people's faces.
Yes.
But at least we could carry on, and we could keep connections. We could phone and have Zoom conversations. And it will help. It did help me to introduce me to the Church of Scotland and yes. to many aspects of the Church of Scotland. So it was a valuable year that I spent there.
Very good. Excellent. And what would your hopes be for new ministry in St. Andrews, Lambright and Urquhart? What are you looking forward to most?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Now, there are many things. The way I saw the congregation, what I picked up from a number of conversations with Ati, who was here before,
yes,
that I got to know in Edinburgh only afterwards. I knew about him in Craddock in South Africa before I came here, but from what I heard from him, from my conversations with the nominating committee, I see that it's a congregation that really enjoy God and love God. The whole thing of enjoying forever is always one of my favorite, if not my favorite sentence in all of our documents of faith. And I can see that in the congregation. And maybe my biggest thing I'm looking forward to is joining them in enjoying God and following God. And then picking up, seeing, well, what do I have to offer that could enrich that and help the congregation maybe further along the road that they've already taken. I'm quite amazed to see what they've done in 5 years without a minister. Well, fortunately, with the 1 year with Ati here, seems to be a very good and exciting year.
Yes.
But I would love to join the leadership in following Christ. And they seem to have set on a path that I really, really respond to. And I like that scene.
Wonderful. Very good. That's great. And we're really looking forward as a presbytery to get to know you and to find out together as a presbytery where God would be leading us and to experience the good things that he has for us together. And wonderful tonight, and looking forward very much to the induction ahead. So thank you for sharing with us, and every blessing to you, Brada, and Francie as well.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, worship this evening will be led by Reverend Andrew Kemmett. And Andrew.
Well, thank you, moderator, for the introduction. My name is Andrew Kemmett, and as the most recent minister, new member of Presbytery, it falls to me to have this pleasure and privilege to welcome folks to this service of worship as the Presbytery of Moray inducts the Reverend Dr. Breda Ludic to the pastoral charge of St. Andrews, Lambright and Urquhart. So welcome. Welcome members of Presbytery, welcome members of the congregation of St. Andrews, Lambright and Urquhart, and welcome friends and family of Breda from around the world as we join together now in worship. While many of us might have hoped that the situation would allow this celebration to happen in person or under different circumstances, no, Breda, no, St. Andrews, Lambright, that while we're not meeting in person, the warmth and depth of all our good wishes in this virtual digital service remains undimmed. And we're delighted for you as you begin this new phase together. So let us worship God. From the 65th Psalm. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed, O you who answers prayer. Let's come before God in prayer. Loving God, you sent your Son into the world that all might live through him. You gave your Holy Spirit to the apostles to empower them to preach the message of your truth. Pour out the same Spirit on your church, that she may proclaim to all people the gospel of the love of Christ, till all are gathered into your kingdom. Let us this evening commit anew to the work of your kingdom, to prayer, to service, to word, to sacrament, to love of neighbor, and love of you, our God. Transform anew our hearts and our minds, and direct us to where you are already at work in our church and in our world. For the sake of your glory and the world's blessing. Amen. Our reading this evening comes from the Book of Psalms and from the 65th Psalm. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed, O you who answer prayer. To you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength, you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. So you provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, as we listen now for your word, join us in your Spirit and illumine our hearts that we might grow in love for you. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I said at the beginning what an honour and a privilege it is to be able to share in the Word with folks this evening, and how strange it is to be doing that digitally and also as the most recent member of Moray Presbytery myself. I have been all of 7 weeks in ordained ministry, and I know I'm preaching at this occasion, Breda, after your many years of ministry and study and all the experience that you have. So it's an odd thing to be preaching as you're inducted into this new phase of your ministry. And while I have perhaps little wisdom to offer, what I can offer you as a South African is to preach at this time as a native Scot and welcome you from your previous ministry in South Africa. I picked a psalm this evening to preach from. for a few reasons. One, because the Scots, as I'm sure you know, have a peculiar history with the Sands. They have a peculiar prominence as in part of our social, our theological, our liturgical history. Psalms continue to be the currency of much of our worship today. A second reason is that I know Psalms are very close to your own heart, Breda, that you find in them a source for congregations to live an integrated spirituality that takes God seriously and takes life seriously. Now, Breda will recognise as I say those words that I have spent a little time reading his PhD thesis, and I hope you forgive me for that, Breda. But I found it a very rich source for my own reading, and it informed some of what I'm about to say. It was also a good reason to pick a psalm at this time. A time which is perhaps an odd season to pick a psalm for our reading. We are, of course, just about to enter the fourth and final week of Advent. Lectionary readings would have us in the Gospels, having heard from the prophets, and all the world, in its different ways, is turning towards Christmas. But of course, Christmas is a relatively new thing to Reformed Scots. If John Knox and co. had had their way, we wouldn't be doing anything special to do with Christmas now at all. Their insight was that there are no high days of holiday, and that was a conviction grounded in the insight that God's love for us is unchanging with the seasons, that eternally and always we're held and sustained by God's grace. They would have told us that it's not so much that there's no time is special, as that every time is special. It might be warping them a bit to say that they were the fathers of "I wish it could be Christmas every day," but for them, truly, Christmas was every day. All that by way of me explaining that the choice of our 65th Psalm for this evening, even as we're surrounded by the hubbub of Christmas preparations, makes a little sense. There is no time that's not appropriate to dwell on a psalm. A recent Psalter compiling many musical settings of the Psalms got it right when they titled their collection Psalms for All Seasons. This 65th Psalm is one that Vida, you, along with Walter Brueggemann, group as one of Psalms of Thanksgiving of the Community. Thanksgiving of the Community. Appropriate to read this then, as the community of Lambride and Urquhart give thanks to God for you answering their call and God's call to you to minister to them, and as they welcome you and Francie to themselves. It's also appropriate as the community of this presbytery give thanks and welcome you into its fold as colleague and brother in Christ. The late Professor Willem Prinsloo of the University of Pretoria identifies in the 65th Psalm three separate sections. It seems to me that these three sections map very well onto three spiritual insights. Firstly, to take God seriously. Secondly, to take life seriously. And thirdly, to receive God's blessing this Christmas season and in your ministry to come, Breda. That first section is verses 1 to 4, and in it, the psalmist concentrates on God's presence in Zion, in Jerusalem, at the temple. The psalmist writes the words we've already heard. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion. To you vows shall be performed, O you who answer prayer. To you all flesh shall come. The seriousness with which the psalmist takes God's presence and the consequences the psalmist sees for God's people in light of that presence is striking. There's no narrowing of the scope of God's election here. It is not just the covenant people Israel who come to God, but all flesh. All peoples, all animals of creation, all flesh comes before God. If God is the one with whom we have to do, then the psalmist makes it clear that it is all of us who are called to take God seriously. And then that second section, verses 5-8, in which the psalmist puts the works of God, especially in creation, the works of God into perspective. In this section, God is the one who is hope for all the earth. For God is the one who established mountains, who silences roaring seas. The psalmist holds the integrity of all God's creation close together here. All life matters. All life matters because God has made all life. And again, even though the psalm began with the temple at Zion, there's this pushing outward movement that God is for the whole world. We heard in verse 8 that those whose life is at the earth's farthest bounds are awed by God's signs. If we take God seriously, then it means taking God's creation seriously, taking all life seriously. And the third section, verses 9 through 13, which paints a rich poetic tapestry of God's superabundant blessing and provision for the world. We heard of rivers flowing full, crops springing from furrows abundantly. And there were two wee phrases that stuck out for me reading this psalm at this time of the year. The first was, "You, God, visit the earth and water it." In this Advent season, we prepare anew for the miracle of God's visiting the earth. Not, as is so often the case in the Hebrew Bible, a passing visit of God's Spirit nearby. Nor, as the way the Hebrew Bible often puts it, a stretching out of God's hand. No, this, a visit where God is one with and for the earth, as enfleshed, incarnate Jesus Christ. And in this visiting, we are watered. Again, perhaps not as the psalmist expected, but by the one who said, "Whoever drinks shall be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. It will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The other line that stuck out to me was in verse 11. The psalmist wrote, "God, you crown the year with your beauty." While we haven't been able to sing this Advent, we might normally at this time of year have sung the words, "People look east, the time is near, the crowning of the year." We are approaching Christmas, and the crowning not only of the year, but of a new king born, a king who gives and is the overflowing bounty of God's goodness. That third section of the 65th Psalm sings of God's blessing in all its fullness. And when we view it through the lens of Christmas, we can even hear in the psalmist a revelation of God's goodness in messianic focus. Breda, you will, in your ministry, lead and guide the people of St. Andrew's Lambride and Urquhart in an integrated spirituality, which takes God seriously and takes life seriously. As you do so, you will be in our prayers. The folks of the congregation will be in our prayers. It's a time of new beginnings. And when, in just a week's time, you celebrate your first Christmas together as minister and congregation, as you celebrate the new beginning of all new beginnings, I pray may you be visited by the fullness of God's blessing. May you drink always from the refreshing fountain of the Spirit. and may you together all commit to serve the crowned Christ that in all that lies ahead. Pray to folks of St. Andrew's Lambride, members of Presbytery, all of us, may we now glorify God in all that we do and enjoy God forever. Amen. I pass now to the clerk to take us through the rest of the service.
Thank you, Andrew. The narrative reads as follows. The charge of St. Andrew's Lambride in Dirkert became vacant in 2016 upon the translation of the Reverend Andrew Robertson to the charge of Eaglesham. The Vacancy Procedure Committee granted permission to call a minister in full tenure on the 9th of March 2016. A nominating committee of 11 people was elected and began its long task of finding a new minister. The Reverend Isabel Buchan was appointed as interim moderator till her retirement on the 1st of October 2019, and Mrs. Anne Bowie, elder interim moderator, took over the post. The congregation has kept in good heart and, with the support of the interim moderators, continued to promote the life of Christ in the community while remaining constant in worship throughout the vacancy. At its meeting on the 26th of June 2018, the Presbytery of Moray granted an extension of permission to call for the further 12 months. On the 1st of February 2019, the Reverend Atty Van Wyk began his familiarisation process with the congregation, supported by the Reverend Jenny Adams. And on the 25th of June 2019, the Presbytery of Moray determined that listing in terms of Section 27 of Act 8 2003 remained in force. And by the grace of God, this led to a meeting of the congregation with the Reverend Dr. Breda Ludig of the Dutch Reformed Church. Mr. Ludig preached as sole nominee and was elected to be minister of the charge and accepted the call to be minister. This call was sustained by the Vacancy Procedure Committee and a certificate of eligibility issued by the Faith Nurture Forum of the Church of Scotland on December the 6th, 2020, having been received, Presbytery resolved to meet at this place and time and on this day of 17th December 2020 for the induction of the Reverend Dr. Breda Ludig to be minister in full tenure of this charge of St. Andrew's, Lambride and Urquhart.
Thank you, Janet. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who, being ascended on high, has given gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ, we are met as a presbytery to induct Breda Ludig to the pastoral charge of St. Andrew's Lambride and Urquhart by prayer. In this act, the Church of Scotland, as part of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, incarnate, crucified, and risen, he freely offers to all people, upon repentance and faith, the forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, and calls them to labour in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognizing liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right, in dependence on the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the said confession, of which agreement the Church itself shall be sole judge. But I have some questions for you to ensure that you are unmuted. Breda, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and do you confess anew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe the Word of God, which is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life?
I do.
Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this Church?
I do.
Do you acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this Church to be agreeable to the Word of God? And do you promise to be subject in the Lord to this presbytery and to the General Assembly of this Church, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs?
I do.
Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this Church, to uphold the doctrine, worship, government, and discipline thereof, and to cherish a spirit of love towards all your brothers and sisters in Christ?
I do.
Are not zeal for the glory of God, love to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a desire for the salvation of all people, so far as you know your own heart, your great motives and chief inducements to enter into this ministry?
They are.
Do you engage in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ to live a godly and circumspect life, and faithfully, diligently, and cheerfully to discharge the duties of your ministry, seeking in all things the advancement of the kingdom of God?
I do.
Do you accept and close with the call to be pastor of this charge, and promise through grace to study to approve yourself a faithful minister of the gospel among this people?
I do.
Breda, you are now required to sign the appointed formula as a seal of the vows you have taken.
The formula reads, I believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this Church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this Church to be agreeable to the Word of God, and promise that I will submit thereto and concur therewith. I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this Church.
Let us pray together. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you call us in your mercy. You sustain us by your power. Through every generation, your wisdom supplies our need. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the apostle and high priest of our faith and the shepherd of our souls. By his death, he has overcome death, and having ascended into heaven, has poured out his Spirit, making some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip all for the work of ministry and to build up his body, the church. Increase in this your servant the gifts of your grace, that he may serve the ministry of Christ and become more and more fitted to the work which you have called him to undertake. As he listens with all God's people in this place for the living word in Scripture and sacrament, may he joyously point to the source of their faith and gather them round the table of the Lord. Standing with them under judgment, may he recall them to the purity of life in Christ. May he be for us all a source of strength and inspiration, that with him we may share in the ministry of Christ, bringing reconciliation to those who are divided, peace and healing to those who are broken, justice to those who are oppressed, and hope for those who are lost. Receive these our prayers for him, whose calling is to pray for all, and with all your faithful servants, bring him at the last into your eternal joy. Through Christ, who died for us, rose again, and lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we now bring to mind and offer once again the prayer Jesus taught to his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Breda, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, and by authority of this presbytery, I induct you to this charge. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Breda, at this point, it would be customary for the members of presbytery and the Kirk Session to offer you the right hand of fellowship in welcome. We cannot, of course, do so, but we do open our hearts to you with the warmest of welcomes this evening. And as is now our custom, it would be good to pause for a moment to share our warmest congratulations by applauding. So can I please ask you all to unmute yourselves and let us show our welcome. Now, I would like at this point to address the congregation of St. Andrew's, Lanbride and Urquhart, and would ask you all to make sure that you, the congregation, are unmuted so that you can respond. Do you, the people of this congregation, in receiving Dr. Breda Ludic, whom you have called to be your minister, offer him your welcome and promise him your encouragement and support?
We do.
Do you each now agree to share with your minister the responsibility for Christian witness and Christian service?
I do.
I do. Yes.
We do.
And will you give of your time, talents, and money for the work of the church in the world?
Yes.
Yes. We will.
Wonderful. Thank you all. Reda, we, your brothers and sisters of the Presbytery of Moray, rejoice with you that through the love and mercy of God, you've been called to minister in the parish of St. Andrew's, Lambride and Urquhart. I now charge you in the name of the church to seek to be worthy of your calling. With a humble spirit and grateful heart, work for the building up of the body of Christ. Together with the people to whom you are bound, share in the ministry of the reconciliation of all things in Christ Jesus. Care for the people in your charge. As you exercise your own gifts, encourage them to seek out and to use their own particular gifts. As you pray continually for them, gratefully receive the love and strength they also offer you. Seek to exhort and teach as one who is also under the Word of God. Through sermon and sacrament, bring God's people to maturity of faith and send them out to live and serve the Lord, strong in the Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. Reach out to those who have not yet come to faith. Honor what is worthy in their lives. Love them as God's scattered children and seek to bring them safely home. Do not neglect the gift you have been given. Be a faithful student of the Holy Scriptures, that what you read, you may believe, and what you believe, you may teach, and what you teach, you may practice. Pray with perseverance. Renew your mind. Refresh your body. Open your life to be filled with the fullness of God. And now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. People of the congregation, today a new ministry has begun, not of the one only who has made these solemn vows, but of you who are members of Christ. You have been baptized into Christ. Each of you has received gifts by which you may share in the ministry of the church. Renew these gifts by their exercise in Christ's ministry to the world. And as you use them in the building up of the body of Christ in love, unity, and peace, may you especially know his presence and blessing. Gather in fellowship, minister and people together. Wait expectantly for the living word. Seek in the sacraments the presence of Christ amongst you. Make offering of what you have and are, and receive the blessing of God. As you welcome your new minister, make this community of Christ a place of true welcome for those who seek, or for those who are in need of any kind. Find ways of making the word declared in worship known publicly through what you say and what you do. Uphold and encourage your minister with your friendship and your prayers, asking for him and for yourselves that the Holy Spirit may be poured out richly upon you, that you may both know and do the will of God. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Almighty God, who in your great mercy made glad the disciples with the sight of the risen Lord, give us such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bless Breda and Francie as they settle into this new situation in their lives. May each of them be assured of your love and grace. Bless the congregation as they open a new chapter full of expectation and hope. May you encourage and inspire them. We remember, O Lord, those who love this church, but whose illness or frailty, burdens or duties prevent them from joining with us now. Keep us united with them and with the faithful who built up this church in the past, and help us to hand on to our children the heritage of faith, untarnished, undiminished. Bring us with all your people to the fullness of your eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, go in peace. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.